You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on March 10, 2021, and is titled, Prepare to be Bold. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, and let's join Steve and the message.
How many of y'all came last week and listened to Curtis? Did he do a good job or what? Y'all give the Lord a big praise off. I'm finally seeing light at the end of the tunnel. There's another guy. We're doing really good. There's another guy. Yep. Y'all had a pretty good week this week. It's good to be back. Robin and I had a good time in Arizona. But if you watch A Little Coffee with the Colonel, you know there's no place like home. Even when you come home and the wind's blowing 467 mile an hour and everything that used to be in your front yard is now in your backyard, you know the drill. So anyhow, it is. It's good to be home. It's good to be back in fellowship. For my little monologue tonight, I just want to give a little rundown, though. We learned a lot while we were out there. I've auctioneered horse sales in Arizona for decades now. We've been out there a lot, but we've never taken the opportunity to enjoy the Arizona lifestyle. The team roping every day. They, for people like us that have like addictions that you can't find therapy for, they like to get up and team rope every day somewhere. It's the last stop for heaven. They have one on every corner. But the lifestyle and the people who have made enough money or made their way to a place to where they retire. And you know, we saw, in our age group that we kind of hang out in, we were the young kids. What was very encouraging to me was the age of people who get up every morning and do something and participate in something, and 80 something years old, even 90, saddling a horse and still doing something and living life. I just very encouraged by that, because I'm a guy that don't want to sit in a chair. And so watching other people not sit in a chair encourages me. So anyhow, and I know they have to have some body parts that hurt too, and they do it anyhow. So they've figured out how to do pain management or something, and they keep going. So anyhow, that's encouraging. But the most encouraging thing, and when you get out away from out just around, and we're extremely blessed because of our little Coffee with the Colonel thing, it now opens the door for a lot of relationships everywhere we go. But we were able to do a county-by-county meeting. These things are coming up everywhere. We're just talking. We're going to Illinois in May. We're going up to Cloudcroft next week. We'll be up there for a meeting. And we're going to Oklahoma in April. And we're going over to Wheeler, Texas in April. But helping people to realize that we have a covenant with God as his people, that we have a legal right in the courtrooms of heaven to allow him to govern the land. We don't have the land deeded to us, but we have a legal right and an authority in the courtrooms of heaven to allow God to govern in our land. And we know that his creation responds to his government. And so I do know that someday we'll come home from somewhere and it won't be blowing 40 mile an hour, and you will be able to see your neighbor's house, and there might actually be green grass one of these days. So we're thankful about that. But when you go and engage people, and what I'm really enjoying about these meetings, like this one was in a sale barn in Marana, Arizona. We're not doing any of these meetings in a church setting, so to speak, or as much as possible not. Because I want believers and non-believers who are interested in our country, interested in your children's inheritance, to realize that we still have a lot of opportunity. So when you get everybody in a pile and you tell them right off the bat, the only hope we have of pulling this off is doing it with God. He's our only hope. So now every believer, every non-believer now gets to question what they believe. And so as you go on through the whole process, we were in that sale barn for probably 2.5 hours. Then we got invited over to some people's house. I mean, one of them I had met a couple times. They brought some neighbors over, and they wanted to talk about county by county. We ended up giving them Bibles. We were there for 3 hours talking about God, the kingdom of God, the Jesus and the covenant that you have with him, and the right to the land and the right to a place to dwell, and all these different things that they had never heard. And the next thing you know, they're licking their lips and they're wanting to read their Bibles. And here's the other deal. You know, this is the real pandemic. We're having a lot of people, everything we go, and those listening on that camera and everybody else, and most of y'all are here because, you know, it's hard to find a place to assemble where somebody's going to stand up and tell you something relevant, tell you something truthful, where you're not playing the game of going to church and going through all the motions of institutionalized religion, where you actually assemble for a purpose so you can go outside and live out the purpose. And so here they sit out in the middle of the desert, and they said, where do we go to church? I said, I don't know. I'll bet you can shoot a scattergun and can't hit one. So why don't y'all got in a pile and ate dinner tonight and had me come over? Won't you all get in a pile a couple nights a week and read your Bible together? Won't you pray over things? Won't you start studying together? Won't you see what happens? I believe they're going to do it. What's wrong with that? I think every one of you ought to get you a Bible study somewhere. If you're not doing one here, do one at your house. Invite the neighbors over. Invite some over you don't even like. You know, the ones that won't mow their yard next to you, some of that stuff. Get them over and see if you can change their mind. Because here's the deal. We're not going to change America by picking another president. You're going to change this country by changing the mentality of the people. You change America by changing Americans. You want this to be a Christian nation? Then the majority of the people in this country have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are not a Christian nation. You can use the verbiage, you can write it on your money, you can stamp it on your police cars, do whatever kind of little silly something you want to do. But until the majority of the people in this nation or this county or your kitchen table have surrendered themselves to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the power of God, we're not a Christian nation. We're just a nation that has some Christians. And therefore, we've ended up in this mess where you can't even have Mr. Potato Head. You can't have Dr. Seuss. Boys can't be boys. Girls can't be girls. I don't know how you're going to address nephews and nieces now, because there's not another word for them. You know, it's a wreck. And the reason is, if there's a majority of the people in this country are Christians, then we have failed to stand up, speak up, or show up. Or else, we're in the minority. So it's time we're going to have to go house to house and door to door. And we're going to have to share our faith and our patriotism and our knowledge so that our neighborhoods will change and our counties and communities will change, and eventually our country will come back to one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's going to take some holy boldness. It's going to take a little want to. It's going to take some people sticking their toe in the water. It's going to take some people doing some different things. We just got to find people to do it. I think one of the unique things about this little fellowship is you drive here from all over different places. How many of y'all are here that live in Muleshoe? Well, it's a pretty good little smattering. That means the rest of y'all live somewhere else. Yeah. So guess what? And they're listening on that camera and everything else. We're going to come together, and we're going to teach, and we're going to learn how to leave this building, how to walk in the power of God. Because let me tell you one thing before I pray and we sing. The Lord gave me a word yesterday, I believe it was, that'll go right along with what we're going to read out of Acts chapter 4 tonight. But he reminded me yesterday morning that there is no power in the institution. The institution of religion is absolutely powerless. The power resides in the individual. The kingdom of God is established by living stones. and the power resides in each individual. Have you realized the power that is within you? Have you realized the task that is before you? Have you realized the calling that God has on your life? And have you tried to live a life worthy of your calling according to the Bible? When we begin to understand those things, we become effective in the earth. We begin to change the atmosphere and change things. How many of y'all know things got to change? So do you think we're going to change things by standing around griping every day about getting an election stole from us? You think you're going to stand around griping every day about some guy that can't even spell Mr. Potato Head, but he doesn't want him around? I mean, I just hadn't figured out what's dangerous about Mr. Potato Head, other than on the package it said, if you're less than a year old, don't eat the ears, you'll choke. I mean, other than that, I just hadn't figured out what's so dangerous about Mr. Potato Head. But we all know that we've got to change. But it's up to us, and the power resides in us, and the God that directs our steps. But we've got to be bold. And therein lies the problem. It's hard to be bold. And so we're going to help you learn how. How many of y'all believe I'm bold? I didn't start this way. When I got saved, I read my Bible in my little closet for at least a month and didn't let anybody see me. Took me forever before I ever prayed out loud. Been 25 years coming to full crazy. Now I'm full crazy. But it took a while to get that away. We want to help everybody get there, okay? Let's pray. We'll sing a couple songs and then we'll teach a little. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight, Jesus, for allowing us to come together. We thank you, Lord, for your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that resides in us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything necessary for life and godliness. We thank you, Lord, that you'll actually shake the earth and cause for a holy boldness to erupt in your church and your people. Tonight, Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to receive, and give us a willing spirit to sustain us. Lord, we pray for our homes. We pray for our communities. We pray for our counties. We pray for our country, Lord. That, Lord, it no longer be just lip service, but that true revival breaks out in our land. And that, Lord Jesus, we would come back to being one nation under God, under your government, God, established in the courtrooms of heaven. So tonight we just bless you and thank you. Speak, Lord. Your servants listen. In Jesus' name, amen. We've also, I'm a little bit behind, but I'll catch up this week. We've got Passover coming up. That'll be the last weekend of the month, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me right. Don, help me with this, but doesn't that begin at dusk on Saturday, the 27th or 28th, and then ends on that Sunday night? Anyhow, it's the last weekend of the month. I've got some plans for that, and I'll be announcing those very shortly. I've just got to get a couple little things tied up. And then the following week, I believe it'll be the 4th of April, is Resurrection Sunday. And so we'll be doing something there, just so you know. Micah, good to see you tonight. Resurrection Sunday, we're getting that on our mind. And there'll be a couple other activities in all this. A lot of our county by county things are going to be centered around Passover and Resurrection Sunday and some different things. I believe on 2 weeks from tonight, I believe I'll do a presentation here. Unless the Lord changes my mind or changes something, we'll do a presentation here of the county by county so that everybody's on the other side of that camera can be tuned in, be making preparation to be here. We probably forego the music and a few things because it's a pretty full thing. So, we won't have a lot of time to dilly-dally around. There's a lot of information. But I've talked about county by county a little bit on my morning get-togethers. I've talked about it with y'all, but there's a lot of you that still have not experienced what that teaching's all about. We've been going around the country. It's been very effective. We believe that God is right smack dab in the middle of it. God is pushing us through this. We believe that we are on the edge of the second awakening in America, And whether that's in the preparation for the return of the Lord or what that is, we know now that there's a time when we're on the very forefront of a revival in across our country, true revival. It's an everlasting revival. The word everlasting in the Bible, the majority of times within context, means human to human. Human to human. That's exactly how this second awakening is going to work. I know that to be a fact. If God's people will participate, no longer is it a time that we simply have prayer meetings and expect the God of the universe to do everything for us. This will be a time when we recognize what's within us, what's before us, that we'll place our foot where no man dare to tread, and that we'll go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will introduce people to the kingdom of God. They'll come to a full realization of what's been given in the earth in the fullness of the kingdom of God, a kingdom at hand, a kingdom upon us, kingdom within us, a kingdom that's near. And in that kingdom, we're going to expose that kingdom as God's people. And that kingdom that the Bible says has been forcefully advancing since the beginning of time, finally forceful men are going to lay hold of it. And so the county by county endeavor is centered in that. And I think Passover is a big deal about that. And so, there'll be more to come on that. And I believe in 2 weeks, I'll just teach on that Wednesday night right here in preparation for everything that's coming. Next Wednesday night, we're going to have the baptismal up again. I've had a little request about being baptized. So any of you family members around here that are feeling the nudge, and you start finding yourself reading the Bible, thinking like an Ethiopian eunuch, that where's the water? Shan't I be baptized? We will provide water. So, we've been baptizing a lot of folks. We had the privilege out there in Arizona the other day, baptizing an entire family in a rubber tub after a team roping one Sunday afternoon. So, I'm telling you, God is drawing men unto himself. And I'm recognizing that as much of this as we can get out of the way makes it easier for God. And there's just, there people are just licking their lips out here wanting to know who is this God that you keep talking about. They want to know, how do we get through all this? How do we fight the good fight? And so, we're going to talk about that tonight here out of, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 13. 2 weeks ago when I was here, we talked about Peter and John. They had encountered a man laying there who'd been crippled for a long time and had his hand out. And Peter and John said, "Silver or gold do not have what I have. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, get up and walk." And so there you see the boldness of Peter and John immediately looking at a man that had been laying there. And for almost 4 decades, he'd been laying there. Yet they had the tenacity to look a man in the eye and say, "Get up." Church, where do we have that? Or are you just going to let the crazy guy in the front up here at the kitchen table do it? And so we see it even happening more. Persecution comes. We got a little bit of persecution right here. Not a lot. It gets worse. How many of y'all ready for some of that? Yeah. How many of y'all ready if somebody just walk up and stick your finger in your chest and say, "I don't want to hear another peep out of you about Jesus"? God, I've been waiting on that for a long time. I mean, I run around begging for it. Please tell me. How many of y'all got enough of this stuffed in you that if they take your Bible away, they still can't take away your scripture? Good question, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. We're going to have a good little kitchen table visit tonight. This is some good stuff. So now the hierarchy in town are ticked off because they done raised up this cripple guy. They got the whole town jacked up now talking about this. And now they're talking about Jesus all the time. Do you know that Jesus is not good for the system? How many of y'all tried to introduce Jesus in all his glory in your workplace and it was a disruption? How many of y'all know that the guys that came down ever since the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, you take a big ogre I done lost his name, honey. What's that? Thinks he's God. George Soros. Holy moly. How many people know you'd be blessed enough to forget his name? That ain't old age. That's the Holy Ghost. He's just doing you a favor. But you got all these people. How many of you know Jesus is going to mess up their plans? How many of y'all know that they need people to pull off their plans? So if we're followers of Jesus, it's going to be really hard for them to pull off their plans. Wouldn't you agree? I don't want to raise the hands, but how many of you are still afraid of uncircumcised Philistines? You see, the church is pretty quiet. We're still not run to the fire, people. We just stand around and tell people there is a fire. That's what we do, don't we? We stand around and tell everybody, hey, there's a fire. We don't run to the fire. We believe we're going to heaven. We just don't believe we have fireproof underwear. We're not going to run to the fire. And so they have a little trouble in their community now. They've done a miracle. How many of y'all would pray tonight when you went home and said, God, I listened to that old boy up here tonight, and I'm thinking, God, that if you would just provide me with the opportunity to do a miracle, I would like for my whole town to talk about me behind my back. How many of y'all want some of that action? Because that's what you get. I've been doing this for 25 years. See, when you have ears to hear, not only can you hear the voice of God, you can hear a lot of the voices that are whispering in the dark, using your name in vain, saying things that might not be completely true. Can you believe that people think I'm radical? Or a little brash. I've had that word used a couple times the last 3 days. You're just a little brash. I don't even know what that means. My sentences are short. I don't know what brash means if I don't, you know. You don't have feelings. I got feelings. I'm ticked off when I miss a steer. I have feelings. So they said, now here's how it goes. Says now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. There's a resume for life right there. Do we have any mere ordinary, uneducated men in here besides me? See, I'm a guy at the front, and I'm as ordinary and as uneducated as any of them. That's what makes it real. How many of y'all walk around and people know that you've been with Jesus? We tell them we've been to church. Some of the places you go to church, Jesus hasn't even been there yet. It's the truth. Have you been with Jesus? Because that's all the credentials you need to understand this kingdom that's round about us. To understand that you dwell in the midst of the heavenly host. That you don't have to scream at God because he's 42 bazillion miles in the ozone, but you recognize his presence because you guys have been in a relationship with each other now for a while. He hears you, you hear him, the word of God kind of makes sense, and you hear God calling you to do things or nudging you in a direction, and you're trying to figure out whether you're going to say yes, no, or maybe. That kind of thing going on. Do people know? I remember one time my daughter told a guy, he said, "Was your dad?" One of the guys was wanting to date her a little bit, and he said, "Was your dad got a hotline to God or what?" She said, "Yeah, you'll try living with him." Do people know you know Jesus? That's important, because these guys looked around and said, "Look, these guys are fixed to cause a mess. But I don't know what you're going to do with them." See, they've had these troubles all along. But what are you going to do with these guys? They walked right up to that guy laying on the porch and told him get up, and that goofy sucker got up, and he's been jumping around yapping his flap ever since. What are we going to do with that? How are we going to get this out of the system? How easy has it been for the Luciferian believers to get Jesus Christ out of the system? Even in institutionalized religion. If you participate in an institution that forbids God to be God, that would be all of this.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Prepare to be Bold. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship, and you can tune in 8 a.m. Mountain Time every Sunday morning to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.